This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Nobody knows who goes into the portal until Cole Kublik reports it, and he joins us now on the roundtable. Cole, when did you become the keeper of the key of the transfer portal? Because you tweet it, and it ends up being on Saturday Down South, or 24/7 Sports, or Brett McMurphy. You're the guy who lets people know when the portal has been used.
Well, you got to know your way in and out of portals. Mm. You know, if you don't understand how to navigate different types of portals and have portal wherewithal, then you're not going to be able to figure these things out, Jim.
Is there a chance a transfer might get lost in the portal like we never see him again?
Yeah, considering that we had an Arkansas punter who had 7 punts for 123 yards go in and a walk-on quarterback from North Carolina go in.
Have they emerged? Are they still in the portal?
We might have some news on that today on the show.
Oh, look at Cole, breaking news. A random punter from Arkansas.
See, another reason why, I mean, Cole's here with us, but he's going to hold news for 58 minutes.
That's right.
No, the Arkansas punter's already in.
Oh, he came out of the portal?
He's been in for about a week and a half. He hasn't come out.
Oh, okay.
He's still in, so.
Cole, did you ever believe National Signing Day would be so secondary as it is now because of the December signing period?
No, I did not. I mean, it's like we've moved Christmas Day. Like it's like we moved Christmas up 2 months. Like it's replaced Halloween with Christmas or something. It's so strange because this was a national holiday for a lot of people. I mean, this was something that sort of helped us get through the college football off season and ramped up talking about teams and what they were going to be like and who could contribute and who was filling holes and these vacancies and what kids were going to have a chance to play right away. And now all of a sudden tomorrow has just turned into sort of another day. Maybe a couple of kids we hear about that are a big deal, but it's nowhere near what it used to be. It's very strange, Lance. I thought that, you know, I'm spending a lot of time talking to a lot of SEC coaches. The majority of the coaches that I talked to were in favor of the early signing day. They liked it, but they liked the idea of it. They weren't really sure still how it was going to work out. But to think that it was just going to completely erase the cachet and luster and sparkle that came with National Signing Day, I don't think anybody really thought that was going to take place.
Cole Kublik, 3-Man Front, SEC Network, ESPN, also on Twitter at Cole Kublik, is with us on the Bud Light Hotline. We were discussing earlier, who would be QB3 in the SEC? Look, I think everybody accepts that it's going to be Fromm and Tagovailoa at the top. If you had to make a case for who the third best quarterback would be, who would be viewed as the third best this season, who would you make a case for?
It's an interesting debate because I think Joe Burrow is going to get a lot of discussion, and I think he proved a lot on the field last year, but I think Joe Burrow was also aided by an excellent defense. I think some of the same could be said by Kellen Mond. I think Kellen Mond probably had the best group of specialty guys around him last year of the ones that are going to be debated. But for me, I'd probably say Jake Bentley just from a skill set and how polished he is. He didn't have a great offensive line. He had a good left side of his offensive line. He had a little bit of a running back rotation that was banged up, so they never really consistently got the run game going. Brian McClendon was a first-year offensive coordinator with him. And I think there's a few tweaks in his game that if he continues to improve upon, he still can take that big step. Now, he's going to need some help. He obviously had Deebo Samuel and Brian Edwards last year. He's going to lose Deebo, but he'll have a good receiving core because I think Shai Smith's a guy that's completely underrated. But I think he has a chance to be – I think he has the highest ceiling of those guys. Obviously, athletically, Mond has the biggest ceiling, but you still see him make a lot of mistakes. He's not going to have near the same front seven to help protect him on defense like he did a year ago. And losing Travion and losing Eric McCoy, their best, most consistent offensive lineman for the last few years, I think is something that could change the way people view him. So I'll go Jake Bentley right now, but it's really close between Bentley, Mond, and Joe Burrow.
You know, there's a lot of talk about how difficult Texas A&M's schedule is. When you brought up Jake Bentley, this is the first time I've really examined South Carolina's schedule. That's a brutal schedule. They have to play Alabama, yeah, Texas A&M, Georgia, Florida. They still play Clemson, obviously. Their non-conference includes Appalachian State, which I know Scott Satterfield went to Louisville, but that's still a solid program.
They have a win streak against Alabama, though.
Drake Whistle will bring a good offense in there. And,
yeah,
you know, North Carolina, obviously, they get a bit of a break there because they're not going to be much to deal with.
But that's still not an easy schedule.
It's a tough schedule. They're going to really need to stay healthy on defense if they're going to make strides from what they were a year ago. That was the biggest problem. They were banged up on defense. They've got Wanham and Kinlaw back up front. That'll help. They just got to find a playmaker on defense. I mean, when Will's teams have been good, they've had a guy who can take the ball away. And they were great at forcing turnovers 2 years ago. They were not good at forcing turnovers last year. They've got to find a way to get the ball back. I'll be interested to see what they look like up front offensively, because I do think from a skill position standpoint, they're going to be pretty good. And like I said, I do think Bentley can still take that next step. It'll be year two under Brian McClendon, but the schedule's not going to be easy for them at all.
You played the manliest of all positions, the offensive line, so I want your reaction to this. I don't think it should be a big deal. And Carson Beck did not say this when he decommitted from Alabama to open up his recruitment, but I think it would be okay for him to say, listen, I know Paul Tyson and Taulia Tagovailoa had already committed by the time I committed, but now that I've reevaluated, I don't want to go there and have to win the job against those two guys. I have a better path of playing somewhere else, so I'm going to open up my commitment and go somewhere else. I think it should be okay to say that as a quarterback and you not think I'm a less competitive as a quarterback. Would that be okay if I just came out and said that as a quarterback?
I mean, I think it depends on how you're saying it. Are you essentially admitting that you don't want to compete?
No, I want to compete. I just don't want to compete with two guys named Tagovailoa and Bear Bryant's great-grandson.
No, because I think the context in that's very important. If you believe that the deck is stacked against you from a competitive standpoint, then I get it, and I can see it, and that makes sense. But if you're just saying, hey, man, I don't think I have what it takes to go in there and compete with those guys, then number one, Alabama fans should probably be excited that you decommitted. Because they're not going to have to worry about the headache of you getting there and transferring at a time that maybe affects the depth chart. And number two, should probably be excited that you're not coming there because maybe you're not the competitor that you need to be to play in Alabama. So I think it's better that he does it now than he does it a year in or 6 months in and decides that he wants out. And we see this continuing trend of a transfer. So if he thinks it's better for him long term to maybe go somewhere and be somewhere for a long time, then yeah, have at it. I mean, it's, people tend to decommit and commit for a lot of different reasons, and I always appreciate honesty. So if he really thinks that he doesn't have a chance to go in there and compete for the starting job, then it's probably better for him to move on.
Wouldn't you think, though, that most quarterbacks today, because they are prima donnas and they're told they're the best, most believe they're going to be Trevor Lawrence? I mean, he ran off Kelly Bryant.
I don't know if most of them believe they're that good, Lance. I mean, because most of them aren't 6'6", 225. And can throw the ball the way that he can. But I do believe that most quarterbacks go in thinking, I can beat this guy out. But where it becomes really dangerous, you look at a case like Justin Fields, is even if you have a better skill set, even if you're more athletic and you can do more things athletically, that doesn't make you the better quarterback. So it also becomes dangerous because we don't know what these coaches are telling them. Like, what did Kirby really tell Justin Fields? Did they tell him that, hey, you're going to split reps and we're going to compete for it on the field? Well, that didn't really happen, if that's what he was told. I don't know that. So was he told that he was going to get equal reps in two-a-days or in fall practice and have a chance to actually win the job? And did he get that? We don't really know. So sometimes I think these guys leave because they feel like they weren't sold the same bill of goods as what showed up when they got to campus. So it's difficult to really sort of have real discussions about how and why these guys are moving and going different places. But I do agree with you. Most quarterbacks think that, you know, I'm the guy that can come in and has all the answers because they've been told that for a while.
You sound pretty good for a guy that did what you did diet-wise yesterday. You're doing all right, aren't you?
No, it wasn't that bad. No,
really?
It's a pack of Oreos, man. It's no big deal.
Yeah, what was it, 18 of them?
So humble.
It was 18, yeah.
18 in 3 minutes?
But it was 18 double stuffs, right?
No, it was the most stuff.
The most stuff, yeah, so, yeah.
That's more than double.
Here's the thing. I don't want it to be this, oh, Cole is some super fast eater and this, you know, the next Joey Chestnut. I'm not trying to be that. I mean, I like to consume certain types of food, so I also like to enjoy it. So did I rush it a little bit yesterday? Yes, but I mean, I still was able to enjoy it. So I'm not going to go in there and try to do it in a minute or anything crazy like that. So
I met Joey Chestnut out in San Jose.
Yeah, that was the weirdest sighting in the media hospitality room. Cole, Joey Chestnut was in there every night.
Yeah.
Was he covering the game?
Well, some outlet had him doing questions and all. I mean, Dabo had a great moment with him. Dabo recognized him.
Yeah, Dabo started interviewing him during media day.
So I don't know the whole story there, but I'm just going to say he's got a bit of an unhealthy look to him personally.
Really? I know.
Yeah, I know. It was a shocker. Yeah,
and ironically, young women were attracted to him.
I found the same thing.
But
I couldn't believe it.
They all wanted to circle him and talk to him about eating fast. So apparently, if you were not happily married, you would be a hot commodity. The ability to eat food fast.
Well, thankfully, my wife doesn't encourage it. So she is not impressed by me eating a single pack of Oreos in under 3 minutes.
Yeah, well, some women are hard to impress, Cole.
I was.
That's true.
Yeah. Thank you, Cole. Take care.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. That is Cole Kublik. You'll hear him on Three Man Front with Landrum Robertson, Aaron Suttles coming up when we are finished. Also see him on the SEC Network and ESPN. He was with us on the Bud Light Hotline.
Always get Lance's Lock on Twitter at TheLanceTaylor.